Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host today, Ryan McPherson. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm also joined in studio today by my producer and co-host, Allie G., Alex Gossett-Shiflett. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you, Ryan?
Fantastic. Here we are on Friday and ready for another exciting episode of Atlanta Business Radio. But before we get started, let's remind our listeners to connect with us on social media, Twitter at Business Radio X. And also follow the show, Atlanta Biz Radio, Atlanta B-I-Z Radio. And don't forget to connect with us on little old Facebook. Interact with us there, leave your thoughts and comments, and see the photos of our in-studio guest. And now it's my distinct pleasure to welcome to the program today. First, let's say hello to David B. Wright, W3 Group Marketing. How are you, David?
Doing great. Good morning.
All right. And so a fabulous Friday here in the show, but you're also returning visitor to the studios here, right?
Yes. Good to be back.
Right. So you're an author, and you were here talking about your book that you have written and several books you have written, right?
The first one, actually, at that time. It's been a little while.
Okay. And so we look forward to hearing more about that, the book writing process and your business and how you're changing the world here on marketing in Atlanta, Georgia. But let's also welcome to the program Dr. Hewan Frederick. How are you, doctor?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. And you are founder and CEO of the ISIS Women's Healthcare, but now rebranded to change the name to Nile Women's Healthcare. Is that right?
That's correct.
Wow. So that's a story in itself for sure.
Two obvious reasons.
Yeah. So let's talk about the clinic itself and how long you've been in operation.
Well, you know, we were a small OBGYN office that started in 2006. Started off with just one provider myself, and has over the last 10 years expanded to a practice that's now housed in a 5,000 square foot office building, two offices, six providers, mainly providing healthcare to the women in the area of North Fulton, Roswell, Johns Creek, Alpharetta. We've done an excellent job. We practice mainly out of North Fulton Hospital and Emory Johns Creek. And it's been a good ride. It's been a good ride.
I would say so. You're growing. You've added practitioners to the staff, and you're also adding some other elements over there as well. So that's great. So 2006, you were founded. Now you're in 2016, 10 years later. What do you attribute a lot of the success to?
I attribute it to actually the team that I've developed and I picked. I picked a good group of midwives that deliver care to the women and to the patients that and give them what they really need. We also attribute the fact that the practice has a good reputation. Mm-hmm. You know, customer service is something that we strive to provide, and I think that we've done a good job in doing that.
Yeah, certified OBGYN practicing nearly 20 years. You were kind of within another group of doctors prior to opening up your own practice, right?
Actually, no, I started on my own. I graduated from my residency, went to medical school at Michigan, went to Detroit for residency, and then came to Atlanta and decided, you know, I'm going to just wing it and hang a shingle and see what happens.
So you've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, right?
I did have a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit in me.
That's good. And so any advice you would give to a young OBGYN thinking about starting their own practice? What are some of those early hurdles that you experienced that they could kind of be on the lookout for?
You know, as with anything, you know, start small and don't do anything too outrageous. And chip away at it. Just kind of keep steady working at it, and eventually something will stick.
Yeah, so that's good to know for sure. Start small, adjust accordingly, but follow your dream and follow your passion as well.
Absolutely. Don't be scared to follow your passion.
And just because you are an effective OBGYN doesn't make you an effective business owner. So there's two different hats you've got to wear there, is right. So having a good team, I think, is part of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, people always tell me and joke that doctors are not good business people, but, you know, I think some of them kind of stand out, and I kind of pride myself to be one of those.
Yeah, and you've surrounded yourself with some good people over there doing good work for the community, continue to grow, but recently have made headlines. You have received some unwanted phone calls and some death threats because of the name of the clinic, the ISIS Women's Healthcare Clinic. And now you have to go through this rebranding effort because of all these the news today. So talk to us a little bit about that.
That's correct. You know, initially when I started off trying to start the practice, like, you know, I looked around in the area and felt like, you know, nobody had any unique names. It was, you know, it was very generic, very location specific, North Fulton, Alpharetta, Roswell. And I said, I want to do something different. I want to get a name and a name that meant something. So in my research, I kind of looked around. I said, you know, I want to find a name that honors women and really paid respect to women and fertility. And the name ISIS came up, you know, so Greek goddess of fertility and the mother of gods in Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. And I figured that's ideal. Chose that name and said, you know what, I'm gonna run with that. Started that name in 2006, but you know, at that point, the practice was just housed in a back office in a back of a medical complex, so it wasn't very visual. We took that name and ran with it, and we grew and we grew and we grew. And it just so happened, coming around 2008 or 2009, is the first time I got wind of, you know, my mother texting me and saying, hey, are you guys aware that there's a group called ISIS out there that's doing funny things? And I'm like, don't really know about it. Didn't really pay too much attention, but I'll keep an eye on it.
Mm-hmm. And then here we are years later, and ISIS, of course, is in the headlines almost daily.
Daily.
And so your name, it was unfortunately associated with this group. And so you saw at some point, you know, hey, we need to make some changes.
Yeah, I think what happened is the coincidence of me moving into a bigger complex off a main street where the sign was very visible, and then the news events that were happening. We started getting a couple calls of people complaining that they would report us to the Better Business Bureau or the Chamber. We had some people who would call and say, are you guys really, did you really pick that name? And mm-hmm. we had to explain that we've been around for a while and what the name really meant. And people would kind of, you know, would kind of leave it alone. But eventually the calls start getting a little bit more numerous. One of them came in where, you know, a guy kind of threatened that I ought to come up and shoot up the building. And that's when I kind of decided it's probably time to change the name.
Yeah.
You know, we've started having people on our Facebook page liking us that, you know, had guns and this sort of stuff. And we figured, you know, the name is getting too synonymous with the bad stuff. And so we changed. We decided we were going to change the name.
Yeah, and that's the right move. You know, as you mark your 10-year anniversary in business and you should be hoisting a celebration banner, you're now taking down the namesake of your building there and your organization to change the name. So how difficult is that to go through and get all new business cards, all new signs? I mean, you've got to kind of break it down that way, don't you?
It's like starting all over again,
yeah.
You know, and I kind of like the challenge, but yeah, we are spending a lot of money, a lot, thousands of dollars trying to rebrand ourselves, change the logo, change the sign on the building, get all our business materials changed over, emails. We spent a lot of time, 10 years, building the brand and on the internet and everything else, and now we have to kind of do that all over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a challenge, but actually, I welcome the challenge because, you know, I get to be on radio stations like this and talk to you guys.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to join us. I see on Thursday, March 31st at 10 a.m., you're having a big unveiling launch ceremony type party. Is that right?
Yes. You know, now that you've mentioned the name, it's going to be a rededication of the business. But yes, we have the public is welcome to come out and celebrate with us as we change the name. We've asked our patients to actually suggest name changes, and this name was derived from somebody who gave a suggestion, one of our patients. And so we're going to run with it. I want to make this event be a fun event for everybody and make this whole circumstance be something that, you know, the patients can mm-hmm. and the people in the community can help in and celebrate in.
Are you allowed to unveil the name change now, or are you going to wait to the 31st?
You gave it away already, but we'll wait till the 31st.
Okay, well, if you were listening closely, audience, you would hear it, but you'll have to stay tuned for more if you really want to find out what that name change is going to be. Alex?
Yes, I wanted you to talk about your practice for just a second. You've 10 years. One thing that I noticed that I'm sure you're proud of is you have a very low C-section rate.
Yes, I am. And I think I attribute that mainly to the attention to be paid to our patients and try to really stick to like a midwife model of care, which I feel is very helpful in preventing that. We pride ourselves by having a low C-section rate. And I think that's something that we strive to kind of maintain. We provide VBAC service in the community and vaginal birth at the cesarean section. Not a lot of providers in the area do that. And I think that's one main contributing factor to having the C-section be rate so low.
Yeah, and it also shows that with having a low C-section rate, you're not just doing a C-section for the doctor's convenience, which do you think that happens in hospitals?
Can't speak for other people, but, you know, I would tell you that in my practice, the firm belief is, you know, we do a C-section. If we say you need a C-section, it's because you really need it, you know, and convenience is not one of the things that we kind of, you know, because we have excellent service and coverage, that's not a factor anytime when it comes to make that decision.
What else could you tell our audience that would be a good reason to choose your practice?
Well, you know, I would think people would want to choose our practice if they wanted excellent patient care and excellent customer service. I think our practice is the place to be. If you want one of those mothers that is desiring a more holistic approach to their natural birth and labor and delivery and water births. Our practice is the practice that you choose to come in this area and get taken care of.
Right.
What are some of the trends you see in your industry today and where it may be heading down the road with technology and some of these new understandings of medicine altogether?
That's a very interesting question. You know, I ponder this all the time. I feel like, one, patient care is changing to, you know, when I was in training, I had an old colleague of mine said, doctors don't have patients, patients have doctors. And I think that's very well true. I think patients are kind of demanding or asking for what they want these days. And, you know, and that is trending more to, you know, allowing them to be a little bit more free and be a little bit more natural and not to just kind of settle for whatever the doctor says needs to happen. I think as the industry kind of changes, I feel like doctors are going to have to learn to kind of adapt to that and really afford patients to the liberties to do what they want to do, provided that it's safe. Technology is always changing, and you know, there's new medical devices coming around every day. One of the latest things that I've been looking into is something called the Mona Lisa Touch, which is a laser for vaginal rejuvenation. You know, and that seems to be working and helping a lot of my patients as well.
Excellent. And we know that electronic health records are something that the entire medical industry is moving forward with. How does that play into your small business and your practice and adopting those new technologies?
Well, I'll tell you, ever since the Health Act was passed, one of the mandates in it is that everybody switch to electronic medical records. So everybody is slowly transversing over to EMRs and it's actually making it very convenient to kind of be able to pull up my patient's information anywhere. I can even pull it up mobily on my cell phone. That makes the continuity of care very easy because I always have access to information that I need. I think as everybody, what's happening in that industry, however, is there needs to be some sort of consolidation with the different companies that are and options that are available. So eventually everybody can kind of speak on the same platform, if you will.
Right. But as a small business, that bring on extra cost, extra man hours, you know, adopting these new technologies that's being mandated by the government.
It does. It does at first, you know, but if you swap out some of the benefits to it as well as that these software programs kind of help you with your billing as well and improve your billing. So at the end, I think it's net-net, you know, net-net. We save the cost on paper, but we spend it more on electronics. However, I think because of the reimbursement that we get, better reimbursement that we have in the EMR, it's balanced out.
Well, it sounds like you're continuing to do good work, serving the community, helping women all across the board with all of their needs there at your patient care clinic. And you're located at 1015 Mansell Road in Roswell, Georgia?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And do you have a telephone number or a website?
The telephone number is 770-521-2229, which spells baby.
Okay, that's good to know.
And website is now the new, well, the current website is www.isiswhc.com, soon to be changed.
Soon to be changed. So stay tuned for more. They're having a big party there Thursday, March 31st at 10 a.m. You should go out there and attend if you want to know more about Dr. Frederick and all his good work that's going on over there. What do you need more of at the clinic? Do you need more patients? Do you need more staff? Do you just need more awareness? What do you need?
You know, I would love to have more patients, you know, and provide more excellent care for patients, both in GYN and in obstetrics. But, you know, most of all, I just want to make sure that the community knows we're there and we know that we try to be involved and we want to give back to the community that's helped nurture us from this small one doctor practice to this the place that it is right now.
Right. So, all right. Well, very good. What do you like to do in your off time in Atlanta when you're not taking care of women all over the place?
I tend to go to watch my wife work out in the CrossFit gym.
Oh, yeah? You don't feel like joining her?
That looks too strenuous.
Well, very good. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Frederick, for joining us. We wish you much success going forward with your clinic, and please come back and be a guest anytime.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. My pleasure. And as a reminder, make sure you're connected with us on social media, Twitter at Business Radio X and Atlanta Biz Radio, Atlanta BIZ Radio. Now let's also welcome to the program from Atlanta Parent Magazine, special events coordinator, Jordan Lavosky. How are you, Jordan?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. So thank you so much for joining us. You started your journey there at Atlanta Parent Magazine 4 years prior to going to college, and then you went to college and came back and went to work for Atlanta Parent Magazine. Is that right?
Yeah, it is.
And so what do you enjoy most about being involved over there?
Really just getting out and kind of getting that parenting feel and listening to the parents and kind of seeing how Atlanta Parent has helped them as a grandparent, as a parent, you know, coming back and seeing all the events around Atlanta. And it's really helpful for even myself, not as a parent, to get events going on.
What type of events are we talking about here?
Festivals, you know, openings, book signings. Mm-hmm. We do our own events as well, but we have a whole calendar section that's focused on just anything around Atlanta that's good for families.
Being there where the families are and being represented, Atlanta Parent Magazine, what is the overall mission behind the magazine?
Just being the resource for parents. We do parties, baby camps, and schools, and that's just, you know, parents have looked for us for 32 years of being the number one source for that. So
Atlanta Parent Magazine has been around for 32 years,
yep,
right?
Older than me.
Okay, that's good. And it's designed for parents of all new parents, seasoned parents, whatever, and a place for them to stay connected and learn about best practices and lessons from being parents, right?
Yep. We start them off kind of with our Atlanta Baby publication and then kind of bring them in with our monthly. And really, we have digital, we have print, you know, for any type of parent, somebody that's busy and on the go, you can pull it up on your phone. Mm-hmm. You could look it up on the computer. You could look at it in print as well.
And you could be involved with any magazine. And you said you're not a parent yourself, but why do you like working with Atlanta Parent Magazine so much?
I've been around kids for so long. I'm also a babysat for years and I love them. Just not a parent, but it's
not yet. Probably one day, right?
No comment.
Okay. Don't mean to put you on the spot. Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
I had a question about your camps. That seems very interesting to me. Tell us about that.
It's camp season right now. So if you haven't planned summer, you better get on it for sure. So we do 3 camp expos throughout the year. We do a camp guide, and then we do a camp section within Atlanta Parent from February until June. And really, we just highlight camps that are in Atlanta, the best camps, and give you the resources to have the best summer ever for your child and for you, so you're not stuck with them for a whole 2 months.
Can you describe some of the camps for us?
So we do really anything, but we do overnight and day. So February's our big overnight issue, and then April's our big day camp issue. So that'll be on the stands, you know, next week. So we have it categorized. So sports, horseback riding, arts, general camps, YMCA. So you know, if there's a camp or something that your child's interested in, there's definitely a camp for that.
Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of camps in Atlanta.
And what's the process for choosing the best camp for your child?
Comes down to really the parent and what they want to do. If there's a week that you're looking for, kind of focus on that. But really the kid knows what they want to do for the summer. They want to know if they want to go horseback riding all summer. They want to know if they just want to relax. And really deciding the budget that you want to stick within. How far you want to travel. Atlanta is such a traveling market that people will travel to camp, but how far do you want to travel? And then kind of give your kids some options.
Now, there needs to be a boot camp for kids. Like you send them to the boot camp, whip them into shape, and then they can come back to the parents a little
better.
Ryan,
you could run that camp.
Yeah, sure. I don't have any kids myself. And so not yet. That's right. And so Atlanta Parent Magazine is involved with the camps and the outreach and parties. Talk about the party. What type of parties?
Yep. So parents can do parties at their house where people come in, entertainers. They bring mobile parties to you, or you can go on location. Mm-hmm. So we do a whole resource of those as well. We do a party guide, an annual guide, and then we do a whole few months where we highlight parties as well. But it's just, again, it's down to budget and what you as a parent want to spend, you know, what your kid is looking forward to that year too.
Right. Are there any Easter parties coming up?
There is. We did a whole list of Easter egg last weekend. Mm-hmm. Was the big one.
Yeah. Easter egg hunts.
Egg hunts. And then there's a few coming up, I think, this weekend as well.
Very nice. And then as school year winds down, I'm sure there's after school parties, summer parties, and then all kinds of birthday parties or whatever kind of party you want to have based on your budget and how, you know, what you want to have involved. And so with the camps, the parties, and then schools. So are you highlighting schools? Are you offering educational programs for the kids? Talk to us about that.
Yep. So we do another annual guide. It's our education guide. So we do another list of schools. It's really helpful for parents that are looking for new schools. And also parents that have just moved here from other states.
Oh, so you're ranking the schools, right? Or describing them.
We don't necessarily rank them. But yeah, we definitely describe them. We give them, you know, the tuition costs, how many kids are there, student to teacher ratio, stuff like that the parents really need before deciding on what school they want to choose to go to.
Are you talking about colleges? Are you talking about high schools or all the above?
We do private Montessori. We also do public as well. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's moving, you know, from Texas to Atlanta, what county they want to be within. We don't really do colleges. We do focus more on pre-K up.
Right. And so what are you looking for more of there at Atlanta Parent Magazine? Are you looking for more readers? Are you looking for more advertisers? Are you just helping to get the word out even further?
both. You know, I'm just really wanting to get the word out about camp. We just went to press for April and just want to make sure that everybody knows that it's time to plan camp, even though it's not April yet. Mm-hmm. But summer will be here before we know it. And then also we have our big family festival in October that we're always looking for more parents to come out and people to come out and show their business.
Yeah, Jordan, I wanted to ask you the high-low. What's the best part of your job and what's the worst part of your job?
Oh, goodness. Anybody working on any sort of deadline will probably know that the worst part is always going to be a deadline. And we have one at least once a month, and that's a whole week. And then the best part really is just kind of getting out. I really enjoy going to events. We have the Atlanta Baby and Child Expo that we'll be a part of coming up. I really like just standing at the table and talking to parents, figuring out why they read Atlanta Parent, how long they've been a parent, and what they look forward to each month.
Yeah, those events are a lot of fun, I'm sure. And, you know, a great way to help get the word out about the good work Atlanta Parent Magazine would be to have your own radio show, Atlanta Parent Radio.
All right, I'm down.
So we can have that conversation and we can make that happen if you're interested, because I do believe there is a large segment of the population who would love to tune in to the audio version of kind of what your magazine is doing.
Okay.
And so we could talk about that for sure. So, but you're also volunteered in a lot of other things personally. You are working with animal rescue groups. You enjoy helping out the young professionals of Dunwoody. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're giving back in a lot of different ways. Where does that all come from?
I don't know. It really just, I don't like having free time, apparently. Mm-hmm. So I like to stay constantly busy. And I started when I was 9 working with animals. And that just kind of came from my mom. And, you know, I've been working with DeKalb now and kind of getting into that. So it's just been fun. And young professionals, I mean, moving to Atlanta, even though I've been here for most of my life, you know, I want to kind of be with young professionals as well and kind of see what they've been up to and, you know, learn from them.
Yeah, that's great. As I recently heard a statistic that in Georgia alone, there's over 500,000 homeless animals. And so we need all the help we can get to help curb that number and make it a little more manageable. And you also enjoy watching Shark Tank, right?
Oh, yes.
So what are you, an entrepreneur at heart? Oh. You hope to start your own business one day?
No. My parents own their own business.
Oh, they do?
I couldn't do it. But I just love Shark Tank.
Do you? We love the show here, too, on the program. We watch it quite often. But usually that means because there's an entrepreneurial spirit in there somewhere. So maybe later, one day, maybe kids one day, maybe a business one day. But for now, Atlanta Parent Magazine and special events coordinator is where you can find Jordan. So tell our listeners how they can find more information about yourself or the magazine.
Yep. So you can go to AtlantaParent.com. We're also on Facebook, Atlanta Parent Magazine. Yeah, we're out there and we're excited for summer and everything coming up.
Well, there you heard it, folks. You can find Jordan out there rescuing homeless animals or helping out parents here in Atlanta at some of the great events they're having around town. So thank you so much for joining us. Please come back and be a guest real soon. And thank you to David B. Wright for being patient. Now it's your turn in the hot seat, so I hope you're ready. President and Chief Marketing Officer of W3 Group Marketing. So tell us about your business.
Well, basically, we help businesses attract more customers, more clients, and more patients.
Oh, that's simple. It's hard to do, but you make it sound so simple.
Well, if you distill it down to its essence, I mean, everything we do is designed to help our clients grow their market share and their sales.
And you're a real specialist in video marketing, is that right?
That's become a real sweet spot, and it's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, so how'd you get involved with that?
Sort of by accident, trial and error, and next thing I knew, I was able to rank videos on YouTube, or put videos up on YouTube and rank them on Google extremely fast.
Well, you've been in the industry for a number of years, and you've been featured in some very prominent publications and written books yourself. And so it sounds like it's all coming together for you here now, and you've got a little secret sauce going on over there at the marketing agency.
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun, and I love helping small businesses, medium-sized companies, and look forward to continuing to help people grow.
Yeah, so talk to us about your typical client. Who do they look like?
Typically, anywhere from the $2 million revenue range up to about the $25 million revenue range. And usually, I've got about two-thirds of my clients are business to consumer, B2C, and about one-third are B2B. Mm-hmm. And usually they've got, a lot of them are in the healthcare or home services, some of the legal and business services industries as well, and some product manufacturers. So it's kind of across the board.
I was going to say, it's not industry specific at all.
Well, I mean, after all, there's only one number one spot on Google for any given keyword. So I only work with one company in a given niche in a given geographic area.
So one lawyer, one accountant, one whatever it may be down the line like that.
Essentially, yeah. But there's, you know, within each field, there's a lot of different types of lawyers. There's a lot of different types of of doctors and so on as well.
Mm-hmm. And so when you begin working with a client, what does that typical engagement look like? They've come, you sit down with them, you visit, and how soon can you begin to put a plan together for them and start seeing some increase on their Google rankings?
As far as getting the plan together, pretty quickly. A lot of businesses face the same problems. They really want the phone to ring, more people to come in their store, more people to shop online, more people to come in their practice or their office. They need to get found.
Yeah. Do you have any good pro tips that you could share for one thing that a business owner could do today to increase their search engine optimization?
For one, go to Google My Business, and if your business profile isn't already claimed there, go ahead and claim it.
Okay.
Google sees that as a big step in credibility as far as, you know, are you a serious business?
So claiming your business on Google, Google Business listings.
Right. Especially if you've got a local business, if you service customers in a local area, It's very important. It'll help your SEO for your website as well. And build up that profile as much as you can. Put photographs, put videos in there, Put a nice long description in there. Just basically make it as compelling as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And David, you are an international speaker.
Yes.
And you have lived in Tokyo, Japan. Tell us about that experience.
That was quite an adventure, actually.
Well, tell us. I love adventures.
I graduated college here at Georgia State University. After I graduated, I had been to Tokyo twice on vacation and decided to move there. So graduation comes around. I start lining up interviews. I had two interviews lined up and no actual job offers. So I was kind of stepping out on a limb there. But I went ahead and took the plunge and got over there. And neither of the interviews that I had set up really turned out to be what I wanted to do. So I ended up basically cold calling the Hello Page, which is the Japanese version, the English language of the Yellow Pages there. And basically cold called every English conversation school within a reasonable commuting distance. And sure enough, on one Thursday, I called one that was actually near the headquarters, near the nearest station to where I was living, and they had literally just run an ad the day before that was scheduled to actually go out to print on Monday. So I went in, interviewed on Friday, and got the job before anybody else even knew it existed.
Wow. And how is that living abroad? What do you like about that? Or not like?
So many things. It's fascinating to start seeing the world from a different viewpoint, a different angle. Learning a different language is not just learning a way to say something in a different way. It's about a different way of looking at the world. The Japanese society is very different from American society in a lot of ways. So it was a real eye-opener. I grew up a lot over there and saw and did a lot of fun things. Mm-hmm. Met some great people, had some phenomenal food, and had a few adventures too.
If you had to pick a favorite place abroad, where would you choose to live?
Tough question. Probably either Thailand or Bali.
Bali. Why?
I love the beach. I love the water. They're both warm year round. I definitely like the warm weather. And it's far enough away from the hustle and bustle of a big city in most cases, but still close enough that I can enjoy big city life too.
Right.
Yeah, he rode a elephant in the jungle in Thailand and surfed in Bali and shot an arrow in the crater of a Japanese volcano. So what's your next adventure?
Probably skydiving.
Okay. Oh. Wow. Then you can go do that right here in Georgia.
Exactly.
Yeah. So exciting. From Japan to Tucker, Georgia, where he lives now, and to the skies above, you can find him doing all kinds of adventures. But back to the business for just a moment and talk to us again about video and why it's so important. It seems to be everybody's trying to do video these days, but good video and bad video, there's a lot of different elements to that. And so what are your kind of inside information on creating a good video?
Well, first of all, start with the end in mind. Figure out what it is that you want the viewer to do. What sort of action do you want them to take? So figure out what sort of call to action you want to include in there, and then figure out what type of video makes the most sense for that. Do you want them to just share? Do you want to do the video just for the sake of rankings to help you get some more presence on Google and the other search engines? Is it going to be a video sales letter, or what type of video is it going to be? That'll also determine what sort of quality and production you'll need for that video too. For example, for a customer testimonial video, the more of those you have, the better your business is, because people really start to trust customer testimonials, especially video. Those are the most trusted there. Mm-hmm. And the reality is overall that YouTube and reality TV have really lowered the bar on what's acceptable in video. And especially in the case of client testimonials, if it comes across as too slick and too polished, it's a little bit less believable.
Mm-hmm. Almost looks like an infomercial.
Exactly.
Right. Back to the quality aspect. If you don't need a high-powered production team to come in and do it, if you can do a good message with a good quality on your iPhone or iPad, as long as the message resonates, I think that's more important, right?
Exactly. And like with myself, I don't even know how to use Final Cut or some of the extremely
higher-end
editing software.
Yep.
I use Windows Media or Windows Movie Maker and Camtasia and a couple other different things. And that's pretty much all I've needed so far.
And I've heard that also the trend in videos these days is to say your message in the shortest amount of time possible. So sometimes in a minute or less, would you find that also to be true?
People have a short attention span these days. Really, the shorter your video overall, the more punch you can deliver in the shortest amount of time, essentially the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in some cases, a 10-second video, if you can get your message out there, more power to you in that time. But nobody wants to really sit down and watch a 45-minute, you know, client testimonial. That might be too much for sure. So what are some of the trends that you see happening in 2016 and beyond with technology, videos, and the marketing space?
Well, video is becoming more and more important. Obviously, Google bought YouTube several years back, and they wouldn't have done so if they didn't think that video was a huge part of the future of online marketing.
Yeah, so more video. There's also platforms that are incorporating live streaming video.
Absolutely.
To your social media. And so more people are doing that and tuning in for sure. But being able to integrate all of the platforms, I think, is kind of, because, a great place to start, whether you're a business owner or trying to, start a business.
Exactly. It's all got to work together in an integrated manner to really have the most impact that it can have on your business.
Mm-hmm. Now, also see, and we hear sometimes here on Atlanta Business Radio, that when you have several people kind of utilizing social media to promote your business, you get kind of conflicting messages or even a difference in the quality of the message. And so what do you recommend for folks to kind of keep that consistent message, quality message going out if you have multiple users on your social media channels?
Make sure you've got a consistent voice and a consistent message. That all goes down to really hammering down your brand and knowing really who your ideal client is and what is going to resonate with them in the most high impact way.
Yeah. And it all comes back to the SEO and where you rank. And so when your people go to find your business, you're more easily found in video. It's just one element to that. It's not the only element. What are some of the other elements you may add to that ingredient list to making a successful business?
Well, of course, there's paid traffic, Google AdWords and so on. Mm-hmm. And Facebook ads have been quite effective and still quite cost effective in most aspects too.
So it is worth it for Facebook. I've heard that's kind of a black hole in some cases where you don't know if you're getting the traction you for your dollars there, as opposed to advertising on Twitter or some of the other platforms.
Really depends on your business, and you really need to test things and see what really works best for you.
Okay.
One of the advantages about advertising on Facebook is they have so much data on everybody. You can get really granular in exactly who you want to see your videos or your ads. I'm sorry. I read an article fairly recently about a guy who had actually pranked his roommate by creating a custom Facebook ad group and only targeting his roommate. So his roommate was the only one seeing these ads.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. And it was probably very successful too, right? Yeah.
It freaked him out a bit.
Yeah, I bet. Right.
But obviously as a business owner, you want to reach a lot more than just one person.
No, but you're right. You're able to dial in your kind of audience even more specifically through Facebook as opposed to some other channels where it's more of just a shouting from a rooftop method.
Right. So if you take the time to really figure out exactly what your customer avatar looks like. Mm-hmm. What do they do? How old are they? Were they married or single? Or what are their demographics? What are their psychographics? What do they like to do? Where do they hang out? What are their hobbies? Do they have kids or pets or what?
Mm-hmm.
The more information, the more specific you are about who your ideal customer is, the more effectively you'll be able to reach them.
Very good. So great inside information for sure. So if you're a small business or medium-sized business and you're looking to kind of take the next step into SEO and video is the way to go, according to David B. Wright, because you are right, David B. Wright. Right? So tell our listeners how they can find out more information about your organization.
Well, my website is at Atlanta SEOS, as in Search Engine Optimization Services.com. We got started originally primarily doing SEO.
Mm-hmm.
My phone number is 404-669-6682. I'm also leading a series of marketing workshops in conjunction with the World Trade Center Atlanta. That's the last Wednesday of the month. We'll be covering a different topic of digital marketing each and every different month.
Down at the World Trade Center in Buckhead, and that where it's located, mm-hmm. and it's free to the public, or is there a cost to register?
It's a lunch and learn session.
Okay.
So World Trade Center members, it's $30 per person for World Trade Center members and $45 for non-members.
Oh, fantastic. So we encourage people to get involved, and there's probably going to be more lunch and learns coming up. So go to the website, AtlantaSEOS.com.
That's right.
To get linked up there. And they're on Facebook. They're on Twitter. We'll have all those links up later on AtlantaBusinessRadio.com. So make sure you go check that out. And before we get out, let's go back around the room. I'd like to talk about Atlanta one time and why it's important to you to have your business here and what are some of your favorite parts about Atlanta. So we'll start with you, David. What are your thoughts about Atlanta?
Well, I was born and raised here. So Atlanta is always going to be my first home.
Mm-hmm.
Tokyo became my second home for a while, but I'm glad to be back. It's been, I think it would be just about the perfect city if it had less traffic and a beach.
But where can you find adventure in Atlanta? The beach up at Lake Lanier, maybe, or down by the Chattahoochee. But yeah, where do you find your adventure? Where do you get your adventure thrills here in Atlanta?
Well, you can step outside of Atlanta a little bit. I went ziplining up in Lula, Georgia, not too terribly long ago.
All right.
Took the kayak out last weekend for the first time this year.
Nice.
Really good to get some water time.
Yeah. Definitely. I love kayaking, love the outdoors, and Atlanta has a lot to that offer just outside the city as well. You live in Tucker, which is DeKalb County, nice area, lots of good restaurants and hangouts over on that side of town. Any favorite watering holes you like to go to?
There's a new restaurant that opened up called M572 on
okay.
Main Street in downtown Tucker. We
nice.
Tried that recently, and it was really good.
M572. So we may mm-hmm. have to get them on the show to talk about their menu items over there for sure. So thank you again, David, so much. Atlanta's proud to call you one of their own. And
thank you for having me.
And please come back and be a guest. And back to Jordan here. You are from Atlanta also, right? You kind of moved here early in life, but you've made Atlanta your home over there involved in the Dunwoody community. What are some things you like to do when you're off time around town?
Well, like we said, I don't have a lot of off time, but I definitely like going to Beaufort Highway. I actually just moved to Chamblee. So going down and testing out all the restaurants there is...
Chamblee. Right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah, that's a pretty good part of town. As I grew up in Brookhaven and right near Chamblee and very familiar with that area. So so very good. Reminder listeners how they can find out more about Atlanta Parent Magazine.
Yeah, just go into atlantaparent.com. If you guys are looking at going to any events as a vendor, you can give me a call at 678-222-1911. But we are, the place to find out what to do this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll hang out with you this weekend.
All right, there you heard it, folks. Go find Jordan out and about in the Atlanta streets, representing Atlanta Parent Magazine, or doing all the other good things that we mentioned there today. So thank you so much, Jordan. And for you, Dr. Frederick, one more time, tell our listeners how they can find you. And when is that event coming up where you're going to have the big unveiling of your name?
So the rededication or rebranding of the practice is going to be held on March 31st at 10 a.m., it's at 1015 Mansell Road in Roswell, Georgia. I've been in Alpharetta for about 10 years, and I tell you, it's been one of the best decisions to have done to come down here because I don't think I would have had the opportunity.
What originally brought you to Atlanta?
Girl.
About that, right? Yeah, that's right. And that's a lovely story in itself, so we may have to have you back one day to tell that one for sure. But we're glad to have you in Atlanta and doing good work there. So we'll have our information posted up later, AtlantaBusinessRadio.com, so you can link up with Dr. Frederick and his crew over there. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right. And thank you, Alex. Another good show.
A great show.
Yeah. We're wrapping up another good week here of Atlanta Business Radio. So hope our listeners and audience out there enjoys their weekend. Come back. Join us again Monday, 10 a.m. live for another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. But in the meantime, check out the website, businessradiox.com. And if your company is doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, pitch us your story there and send us a note. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.